invitation to a meal, to a concert. We all get them and we enjoy them. And usually if it's a formal one, it's on the bottom is some cryptic letters, RSVP. And I used to try to figure out what that was years ago in English, what that stood for. But it is not in English. It's not meant to be. It's a French wording or acronym. And it literally means, would you come, you know? You're invited to come to this place. I want you to come, do those things. And Jesus is doing the same thing to us. He's inviting us to come. Now, it's not a command. Here he said, come unto me. But a lot of times we read that as a command, that you got to come to me to receive anything. But it's an invitation. God has made an invitation to those who are saved and lost alike, that if you'll come to me, I've got treasures that I will give to you. I think here is some of the most tender, most appealing words that we can read in the Word of God. I think these are the greatest invitation that you will ever get in your life. That Jesus is saying, come to me. And over, seven times, he uses a personal pronoun for himself. Come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you those things that you desire in your heart. In this life, there's so much of that. There's so much trouble. There's so much unrest around us and in our lives. Some of you are suffering with things that I will never have to suffer with. And I may be suffering with things that you will not have to. But we all suffer. We all have things that we have to attack in life. And we have to face them. We can't run away from them. And as a child of God, God has given us so that. And he says here, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Notice to whom the invitation is given. It's given to everybody. No matter where you are in the station of life, no matter what God has placed in your life, no matter where you are in age or in wealth or in health or anywhere, God is saying, come to me. Come to me and I'll give you rest. The only rest that you can find is in me. And the words that he used here are not really complimentary to us. They compare us to a cow, to an ox that has been yoked up and is pulling a load. But the Bible said that Jesus said that my yoke is easy. It isn't there to bring calluses. It isn't there to be a load. It's there to help carry your load. And God is speaking to us in those things. And we all have loads. There's the burden of our anxieties, of our fears. Many people live in fear, whether real fear or imagined fear, and they live in that the whole of their lives. There's many that you're burdened down with the cares of the past and what has happened in the past, and you can't undo the past. You can't go back and right the wrong. And you live in those burdens that are there. There's too many of us that are under financial stress and duress because of the times that we live in, and you're wondering how the bills are going to meet, and you live in fear of those things. And Jesus has sent you an RSVP, and he's asking you to please respond. If you'll come to me, it's an invitation. I will give you more than you will give up. You'll never give up more than what God gives back to you. This morning I was blessed. I'm carrying in my pocket a Snickers bar. A gentleman whom I love very much walked in and he said, I've got something for you. And he bought me a Snickers bar. I don't really want that very much, but he can bring one anytime he wants to. It's a little squashed now, but it'll still be good. It's like putting them little Debbies in your truck. Dash, you know, and the sun's beating down and it melts all the juicy stuff and it gets kind of wet. There is nothing better than that. That's a Snickers bar. I've been in a pocket for about an hour. Oh my. As children of God, we need to understand that God has placed that in our lives, that no matter what our lives is, no matter what we have gone through, going through, will go through, that God provides the peace and the rest. Only he can give it to you today. You won't find it in the doctors out there. You won't find it in the self-helps. You won't find it in anything else. You'll only find it in Jesus Christ. And that's what the Word is saying here. So we need to hear the words of Jesus when he speaks them. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords has spoken. And when he speaks, we need to listen to what he has to say. He said in John 14:27, "Peace I give unto you. My peace I leave unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And God is saying to you and I in the words through John and through Matthew here that Jesus wants you to come to him. He has given you that invitation and he wants you to do those things. He said, "My yoke is easy." You know, I'm glad that whosoever may come. I'm glad that it doesn't take money to buy. And the Bible says, come without money. Come and eat and drink because it's free. It's given of the Lord. And that is what God does for you and I. He's wanting to give us something, not take life, to give life to us. And when we allow him to do that and we allow him to take our lives, this rest and this peace that he's talking about here, it comes to us. Take my yoke. I wish I could have got a yoke. I tried to find one, an old yoke, and bring it and let you see what it looked like and let one of you try it on. It would have been wonderful to see. And that is exactly what Jesus is. And when that ox is the yoke put on it, he's in submission to that yoke. And that word is not a good word today, but it's a good word in the Bible when you're submissive to someone that loves you greater than you love yourself. And it means to be submissive to, entering into submission. And the word here, easy, I love it. It's krestos. It means well-fitting. It means something that is made just for you. And God is saying that when you put my yoke upon you, that you take my life that I have for you, that it's well-fitting, it's exactly what you need. It's exactly what will bring you blessing and bring you joy. And just allow me to come in now. And he gives that invitation to us. He said, "Then my burden is light." The sage said, "My burden has become my song." And that's what happens to us. That as children of God, our burden that we carry, when Christ enters into that with us, that the burden becomes our song. It becomes that which lifts us up. It becomes that which completes us and makes us what God wants us to be. And that is what God is saying here. God is a constant in our roller coaster of life. He is one that as children of God, when we trust in him and no matter what comes into our life and we allow him to take care of our life, he smooths out the rough roads. He is the one that as we're going up and down in this thing we call life, that he is with us and protects us and helps us. You need him. You need him like you need your next meal to live. He is the meal that keeps you going, the strength that enters your life, that allows you to overcome the things that are in life. He is your constant. He is the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one that doesn't change. And I want us to listen to three things here. This invitation, this great invitation that is here, it speaks of the Savior. It speaks of him. Without him, there isn't an invitation. Without him, there is no rest. Without him, there is no hope. And that is what God is saying. He is saying, "Come unto me." 7 times he used a pronoun here of himself. Come unto me. Rest in me. Find your help in me. That is what God is saying. We live in a world of promise today. Promise is here. The politicians are promising everything and they give us nothing. The world is promising everything. The devil promises life, but he gives death. He promises blessing, but he gives cursing. And the Bible says that you're either serving him or the Lord. You're one or the other. There's no middle ground that is here. He done Eve the same way. He promised her life. He said, "You'll be as gods." But she was not given life, she was given death. She didn't become as a god, she died. The devil promises us the same things, but God doesn't. What he promises, he delivers. The world will promise us things. It promises a lot of things. We read short ways to health, to wealth, to happiness. We have all kinds of self-help books and gurus and all of that. And no doubt, some in here, you've got books at home that tell you how to live a happy life, how to be healthy and how to be wise and all of that. But that only comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The world is a liar. He is not able to give us anything in life. See, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is able to do whatever that he promises. And he's promised a lot. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we could ask or think, he says. See, God is able to do what we need him to do. But the Bible tells you and I that he's also willing to do what he promises. What he speaks, he will do. Can you say amen? Have you found that to be true in your life? Amen. See, God is telling us as children of God that God will do anything. What do you need him to do today? What has he promised you in his word? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. The Bible tells you and I that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The Bible tells you and I that God is not only able to do what he said he would do and promised that he would do, but he's willing to do those things, and he's faithful to do those things. He's faithful and just. I have found him to be that in my life, to be faithful to all of those things that he promised me that he would do. He said, all the promises of God are in Christ, yea, and in him, amen. We can say, praise God, that God will do what he said he would do. See, this is an invitation to you for peace, for rest, for help, to answer the promises of God in your life. And God said that he would give them to you. He is able to do what he promised. He is faithful to do what he promised. And he is willing to do what he promised that he would do. See, that is what Christ does. It's about him. Life is about him. You can't live a life and truly have life without Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible tells you and I that even his word, the word that is the living word of God, is life. And we cannot have it life without him. If you're here today without him and you don't know Christ, you don't have life. You have not experienced the abundant life that only God can give. And beloved, as children of God, he's given you the invitation to say, come and come to me and I will give you rest. Not come to a church. A church will let you down. Pastors will let you down. Deacons will let you down. Teachers will let you down. But Christ will never let you down. You don't come and give your life to a church or to a person or to a thing or a program. You come to give it to Christ and him alone. That's the only way to be saved. Thank God that he will save you. He will deliver you. He will set you free because he promised that he would. The Bible says here that as the children of God that we need to understand that this invitation speaks of the Savior, but it speaks of his second coming too. Remember what he said? John the Revelator was writing about him and telling about him and telling about the glory that he has. And John described that there was one coming as a husband that is adorned for his bride. And that's normally the bride adorned for the husband. But oh, this person is Jesus Christ, the wonderful one, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God. He is the one that is coming. And he got beside himself and John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Haven't you said that in your life? Heartache has hit you, tragedy has hit you, and oh Lord, it'd be a good time for you to come. Oh, there's time, as you get older, you say that more and more, don't you? And Lord, I'm ready. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave this, Lord, but boy, I'm ready. Just take us all home. Just take us all home. Boy, he's promised in his second coming that he would do it. But this also, invitation speaks to the saved. It speaks to the saved. It speaks to you and I. People think, well, I'm going to give my heart to the Lord and then I've just got to live it. No, you get to live it. You get to be a Christian. You get to accept the invitation to accept what God has given to you. See, the theme of the Bible is come unto me, not just to be saved, but come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Church people get heavy laden too, don't they? We get burdened too, and we don't know which way to turn and what to do sometimes. Sometimes I'll tell people, well, I have the same struggles. Well, you? You're a pastor. Yeah, you get behind me. Ask my wife about it. We do struggle. All of us struggle. From the pulpit to the pew, there's no difference. I'm a man just like men that are in here. We all struggle with the same thoughts and the same desires and the same failures and the same sins. We all go through that. But thank God we can have a Savior, and I have one. Thank God I've got his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, his help that leads me. And I don't have to do it. I want to do it. I want to serve him with everything I've got because of what he's done for me. And the Bible says here that this great invitation is to the saved. He said in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they become white like wool and clean. And that is what God has done for me. How can I not but serve him after what he's done for me? How can I not give myself, as Paul said, I'm constrained by the love of God to me. And I want to give everything I've got to the Lord and trust him and love him and serve him. St. Peter said he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible tells you and I that the invitation has been given over 2,000 times. The word come is used. The invitation to come to him. To him. I remember being in the back seat of a limousine. I was in El Paso, Texas, and I'd been over into Juarez, Mexico, and we'd spent the day, and on the way back, I found a place I wanted to eat, and they took me there, and they came in a white limousine. I liked that, but it was a long car, and I was by myself, didn't have anybody with me. And I looked at the guy, and I said, hey, I said, can I move up towards you? He said, well, it's not allowed, but he said, come on. He said, I've not had anybody up here in a long time. And I got up there, and I just began to speak to him about the Lord. I said, you know Jesus? And he said, I've been going to church. You know, God will put people in your life if you'll let him. And I said, well, Jesus loves you. And I said, have you ever accepted him in the free pardon of sin? Have you ever accepted him and asked him to forgive you and to surrender to him in your life? I don't remember exactly what I said, but those are the words similar. And he looked at me, and he said, no. And he pulled over, and he said, can you show me? And I said, yes, I can. It was easy. And there in El Paso, Texas, he gave his heart to the Lord. See, we need to understand that God will use us no matter what. He has issued the invitation. All we got to do is present it to people. We send out the invitation. The RSVP said, just come. That's all you got to do. He'll do the rest. People will say, well, Brother Rudy, I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I've got to do those things. No, you don't. I've had people say, well, I've got to go. I've got to clean my life up first a little bit. God didn't say that. You did. You don't clean your life up to come to God. You come to God just as you are with that one plea. He cleans you up. I've seen people that we get people in church, and a lot of times they'll say, well, they're in church now, and I've got to clean them up. No, you don't have to clean nobody up. You've got enough problems with yourself. Look to your neighbor and say, you got enough on your own self. Leave the other person alone. God didn't tell you and I to clean anybody up. He said, we water, we provide the increase, we sow, but God provides the increase. It is God's job to. L.D. England, I remember him. Some of you may remember him. I loved him. We was talking about him the other day. I was with someone, and he would always say this. He would say, let's go out and fish and catch some fish. And he said, we'll let God clean them. Amen? And I can't clean nobody. I get my dirt on them. You can't clean anybody. I see people looking down their nose at people sometimes, even in church, and they think that they're better than somebody else. My goodness alive, you need to get saved is what you need to do. There is none righteous. There is none that's fit for heaven. Nothing we do can cause us to get there. The invitation is to sinners. The invitation is those who are depraved, to those who have no hope without receiving that invitation. As a child of God, we need to understand that. As a person, we need to understand that. We all come the same way. We come through Jesus, or we don't come at all. We come through surrender and asking him into our life, accepting the invitation, or we don't come at all. Boy, I'm glad that he gave me that invitation. And I'm glad as a young boy I received it. Whatever you did, if you received it, thank God. Oh, let that be your foundation. But that's your starting point. That's not where you finish. See, he died for the saved, but he also, the Bible says, this great invitation is to the lost man, to the lost man. And I like that. Come unto me, says the Lord in Isaiah. Come unto me, he said in Revelation. Over and over, he said to the lost, to come to him, and you can be saved. I was thinking this morning as I was coming over here, I was just thinking of souls down through the years that have been saved, and I remember a lady calling me several years ago, and it was on a Sunday morning, and she called me, and she had a gun to her head, and she said, tell me why that I should not kill myself this morning. And I said, well, ma'am, I can tell you why. I said, Jesus loves you. And I just let it hang at that, and She said, well, tell me more. I said, you don't need any more. I said, do you know he loves you? I said, if he loves you, then you've got hope and you've got purpose. You need to come to him. I didn't go to church. I didn't preach that morning. I went to their house. And I said, I want the gun. And she gave me the gun and the shells. And I said, do you have any more? And she said, no. And I said, you need to be in church. You need to come. And she did. And she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. There may be somebody here today. You say, Brother Rudy, I don't see any hope in my life. I don't see anything that is any good. And I've thought about taking my life. And there's many good people that have done that, had those thoughts. You need to understand something. You don't have to do that. There is purpose in your life. There is reason in your life. And all that you have to do is accept him, respond to his invitation. You don't have to take your life. My goodness, there's nothing after that. What you need to do is give your heart to Jesus Christ, the one that loved you enough to go to Calvary's cross, the one that's already proved his love to you. He doesn't tell you to wait. He said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says that you and I don't wait, that we don't wait for anything, that we give our hearts to the Lord today, now. And without giving it to him, we have no hope. There is no rest. But thank God that there is an invitation. You've received the RSVP. All you got to do is answer it and give your heart to Jesus Christ. We need to understand that the word come is a word of merciful invitation. You don't deserve Jesus to say, come. You and I don't deserve anything but hell. We don't deserve anything but dying without God. We've done nothing to deserve it. But God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. And beloved, because he did that, I can receive him and I can be saved. I can be right with God. I can have the peace of God and the peace with God. And that's all that matters. That's all that matters this morning. It doesn't matter when we die. We're all going to die. I look at people and I've had people say to me several times, something bad will happen, somebody will die, or a tsunami will take. And they'll say, why did these people have to die? That's a wrong question to ask. The question we need to be asking is why does everybody have to die? They have to die because of sin. We have to die because we have sinned against God and against everything that is out there. There's an easy answer for that. And where was God when we sinned? Where was God when they died? The same place he was when his son was on Calvary's cross, dying for your sin and my sin, your shame and my shame. He became sin for us. That is the God that we serve. And oh my goodness, when you receive that and you know that you're saved, how that your life changes, how that God comes into your life and he blesses your life. I think I've told this, but if I have, you smile and act like it's the first time, would you? But we were setting up a quality area in Linden, Tennessee, and I never will forget the guy that was there. He was lost, and I began to witness to him. Now, he wouldn't hear me a bit. He wouldn't say a word. But I'd see him on the side, and he was burdened. He was just bothered. And I went to him, and I said, listen, whatever you're burdened about, I said, something's wrong. He was an engineer. He was real smart, and a lot smarter than I ever thought about being. And I said, Lord, you'll have to reach him. I can't. I don't have the intellect. And brothers, you and I don't. We can't talk people into being saved. But God changes them from the inside out. And he began to deal with this person. I said, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you need the Lord. You need the Lord. And I just talked to him, and that night I was in my hotel room, and he was in his hotel room, and I got a knock on the door, and he came to the door, and I opened it, and he said, hey, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And I said, you want to come in here or go to the lobby? And he said, I'll come in there if it's okay. And I said, that's fine. He said, we're getting a divorce. And he said, it's my fault. He said, we've been married 3 years. And he said, I don't know what to do, and I've messed up. I said, have you told her that? She won't listen to me. I said, are you willing to give your heart to Christ and allow Jesus to take part? And I know sometimes people give their heart to Jesus because they want him to answer something that's really happened bad in their life. But you need to come to him no matter what. And this guy did, and I didn't know, but he was sincere. And we prayed. We knelt down there at the bed and prayed, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And I said, now call her. And she won't answer me. I said, call her anyway. And I said, let's pray before. And we asked the Lord to help him. And I didn't know if she would answer or not, but she answered. And they began to talk, and she got saved on the phone. Now, this is truth. This is the way God does. This is nothing to God. I didn't do nothing. He done it. I didn't know what to say, but he did. And she gave her heart to the Lord, and he gave his heart to the Lord. And they came to our church a couple of times when he was visiting our plant. But I want to tell you something. God can save. There's no hard cases with God. Nobody. God will save you if you'll come to him. You will die lost if you don't. If you don't receive the invitation, you'll go to hell. There's no other place. Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven. He said it was eternal, just like heaven is. I don't like preaching on it. I don't like speaking about it. But oh, it's in the Word of God. And God came and took your hell through Jesus Christ. He came and took your sin and nailed it to Calvary's cross. He came and bore your shame that you don't have to bear it. I don't care what you've done, what you're in, what you're doing. Come to Jesus just as you are and let him have his way in your life. The Bible tells you and I that come is a word of merciful invitation, and it's a word of gracious expectation. It is Jesus saying, I'm here waiting for you. Will you come? I'm here to welcome you in and to forgive you. Will you let me? See, it's not a command. It's an invitation. And would you come to that invitation today? It's also a word of wonderful anticipation. You remember when you got saved? See, Jesus says to those who will accept the invitation, I've got wonderful treasures for you. Mercy, forgiveness, grace, help, peace, joy. All those are true with the child of God. He wants it for you. Not a game. It's not a game. You say, Brother Rudy, I just don't believe that way. Well, if you believe and you're wrong, you're going to hell if I'm right. If I believe and I'm wrong, then I'm living a good life. And I will die having tried to help other people. I want to tell you something. It's not a lie. And the Bible says he is coming back to receive us unto himself, that where we are there, we may be also. Prodigal son, when he came to himself, he rose up and he said, I'm going to the Father. In his mind, he was coming to the Father not because that he was going to be put in as a son again. He'd already squandered all of that, or so he thought. But he said, I'm going home. Today, that's all you have to do is to rise up and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I accept what you have for me. I surrender to you. When this prodigal son that had spent all, wasted all of his inheritance, the father saw him a long way off and ran to him, just as Jesus will run to you. The Bible said, he that comes to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. And he will change you and he will help you today. I'm talking to those that have given your heart to Jesus. You've been saved, but you're carrying such a burden. You're struggling in many ways in your life, in your heart. And God didn't mean for you to be that way. You need to come. See, I always love an old-fashioned altar. I always love people to come. It's biblical, I think. But you can do it right where you're at. You can say, Lord, I surrender to you today, right now, where I am. I always like coming and getting people to pray with me and to really humble myself, not caring what people thought or said or did. I wanted to do all I could to receive him. But you may be here lost too. Without God, you have no hope. You can reason in your mind all you want to, but without God, you don't have anything. The Bible said you're of all men most miserable. You know why? Not that you can't have joy here and be lost. You can. But you're miserable because you have no hope after you die. The Bible says it is appointed unto men, all women, to die. We know that. And after death, the judgment. So that's not the big picture out there. Right here is the big picture. Will you accept him today? The invitation's to you. Will you let him give you the treasures that he has in store for you? As you stand, as you bow your heads, please, as the musicians come, you need to be saved right where you're at. If you're here today and you've got trouble, get the hand of somebody and say, hey, I need to pray. I need some strength. I need some help. And God will give you help if you'll ask him. I love it today. We got the bad news this morning, and it broke our hearts. But I'm thankful that everything is in God's will as a child of God. And we can trust him. And you can trust him this morning. Put your faith in him. Put your trust in his word. And just rest there. And God said, I'll bless you. I'll be with you. I'll do those things that you'd have me to do. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, who would raise your hand and say, Brother Rudy, I know I'm saved. I know God's in my heart. But I'm struggling with some things, and I want God to know I need him to answer them for me. Would you raise your hand? Is there one? Is there one? God bless you. God sees that. He knows your heart. Knows what you need. God bless that hand. God bless you. God bless you. You may be here lost. And you don't know God. And you need help. Would you raise your hand and say, listen, I want to accept Christ. I want someone to pray with me. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. But would you raise your hand and say, please, I want to be saved. Maybe not today, but I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm praying, I'm thinking about surrendering to him. Would you pray for me? Is there one? Is there one? Father, we come to you today. We ask that your blessing be upon us. The altar is open. The invitation is given. You're awaiting the response. And we pray, God, that you'd have your way in every heart that is here, saved and lost alike. And again, Lord, here this morning, I surrender myself to you. Take all I have, all I am. Father, if you can use it, you use it. And Father, I pray that you'll touch every person in this building. You're just waiting for them to ask. And when they ask, you'll give. And I pray, Father, that you would touch, you would guide, you would direct. And we love you today. We worship you as our God. And we pray, Father, you'd have your way in every heart. The hands that were raised, those that weren't, that God, your will be done. Now we love you today. Thank you for this wonderful invitation. Thank you for the wonderful life that you've given each of us to live because of you. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Brother Jimmy, I thought you did. Need the elders of the church to come, please. And anybody else that'd like to join us, that'd be fine. Just gather around. James chapter 5 tells us to, at the request of someone, to come and anoint them. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick and they shall be healed. So chapter 5, verse 13 following, you can read that. I believe in the healing amount of the Lord. This is oil. It's olive oil. It's pure.